This hour we have two remarkable stories for you, and the first of them is about a woman in San Francisco by the name of Karen Lodrick, who had her identity stolen through her account at a Wells Fargo bank. And it went on for month after month after month after month until Karen literally confronted the woman who had stolen her identity and chased her down through the streets. I've asked her to join us this afternoon here on KMOX to talk a little bit about her story. Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Before you tell the story, tell me the ending. Is your identity back to being yours alone, and have your credit records been fixed, and did you get all your money back?
Well, I'm still working on all that, but, you know, it seems to be going along smoothly, fairly smoothly. And, yeah, so it's, but it takes time. So I'm still doing that.
All right. When did all of this start? About Thanksgiving of 2006?
Yes, that's exactly correct. I got a phone call from the bank asking about some large debit withdrawals, and of course they weren't mine, and I didn't even realize the extent of it until I went down to the bank and then saw that my checking account was completely gone. I mean, the money was just gone, and that's when I just really got terrified and realized, wow, this is big.
Now, it's interesting because during the commercial break, I told Carol that we would be talking about your story with Wells Fargo, and she said she has recently had some problems with an account with Wells Fargo. Not that we're demeaning the entire Wells Fargo bank. It's just coincidental that you both had problems with this, and yours also, Carol, had to do with money and checks and things.
Yeah, some check. Nobody's raided my account at this point, but some check that they say was cashed in my name. Apparently they just send out checks.
Is that what happened with you, Karen, that somebody was sending something to you and somebody stole it out of your mailbox?
Yes, that's exactly right. They actually sent two debit credit cards that I never requested. I didn't know that they were even sending them to me. And then in a separate envelope, but around the same time, they sent PIN numbers for those two cards, and she managed to steal both of those and just have a field day directly into my checking account.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. They always try to send those in two different envelopes because, of course, nobody would ever think of robbing your mailbox twice. And in your case, somebody was robbing it because they got some sort of master key?
Yes. That's what we were told, that the block was being looted because the federal master key was somehow stolen. And it got narrowed down to my box, and we believe that's because they did receive so much good information from the bank that they were able to get, you know, more of my identity. So.
All right. So in addition to your checking account being depleted, what else happened to you?
Well, she managed to open up other accounts, other credit cards, and she managed to get a fake driver's license so she could go shopping and use different retailer, Macy's, Bank of America, like old credit cards that I haven't used in years. She was able to reopen those and start using those. And
now,
she did the blank checks, as we mentioned earlier. She managed to get some blank checks. And
now, I'm curious about this because everybody always says, guard your Social Security number. Without that, if they can't get their hands on your Social Security number, you're probably going to be okay. But in your case, all it took was access to one bank account. And then without a Social Security number, how did she do the rest of this?
Well, actually, she did get my Social Security number again in the mail. And Wells Fargo, I had a CD, and they sent a receipt of that CD with my Social Security number on it.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, and and they're disputing that. They're saying that no, in fact, they do. That is not their policy, and they don't do that. But you know, I have the physical proof that when I chased her and found her, and the wallet that she ditched, it had all the stolen mail in it, and that was one of the pieces in there with my Social Security number.
Yeah,
right.
Don't tell me you don't do this because I have a piece of paper from you in which you did this.
That's right. That's right, and they actually made the San Francisco, or I don't know if they made them, but they did. San Francisco Chronicle retracted that statement out of the original article, and I'm pretty upset about that because Are they calling me a liar then? Because I have the physical proof.
Well, they actually almost called you a liar on a couple of occasions because tell the part about you having to go down and look at the photo.
Okay, yes. All of a sudden, well, first it was about, the money, and then I signed an affidavit for that to receive the money back, the stolen money. And then they said, well, we're going to have some ATM photos. Would you be willing to go view those? I said, absolutely. I mean, I wanted to help in any way that I could.
Sure.
And then it became about these photos. So I viewed those photos. No one told me about signing an affidavit. So the first time I went down there, I never signed anything, wasn't told to. And then 3 weeks later, I go to get money out of my account, and that money was taken away again. And I contacted Wells Fargo, and they said, well, you never viewed those photos. I said, well, yes, I did. In fact, I have a copy of one of the photos. And they're like, oh, well, you're not supposed to have that. I said, well, that's regardless. I do have it, and I did view those, and I want my money back. And they insisted and were very accusatory that I go down and I look at those photos again. So I said, okay, fine. So I went down, and this time I signed an affidavit. I was wondering why they never even told me I needed to do that. But anyway, so I did all that. And then once again, I received a letter in the mail saying, we're sorry because you have not viewed those photos. We're going to take your money away. Mm. I mean, I couldn't. And then so then I went down there a third time, and this time I wouldn't leave until I got a copy of the transaction, and I actually went to a different branch thinking maybe they could, you know, get it straight. And it seemed, it took three times for them to realize that I did view the photos and to stop toying with my money and taking my money away.
You were the victim, but you were being treated more like a suspect.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now that this is all over, does Wells Fargo have any of your money?
There's a little bit in question, but for the most part, Wells Fargo did return most of it.
And so, have you closed your accounts with that bank?
I did. And, you know, this is interesting. I did. I closed all my accounts, and I went over to Citibank. And do you know that even though I have no account, I should have no accounts open with Wells Fargo, I still receive more mail and more stuff from Wells Fargo than I do from my own bank.
And who knows who's getting to your mail now?
Yes.
All right. Now, let's get to the part of the story. We're talking to Karen Lodrick from San Francisco about her identity theft story here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. Let's get to the part of the story where you actually physically confront this woman because you happen to be in the same place at the same time. How did you know it was her?
Well, it was from those photos that they said that I never viewed. And, you know, it's funny because that third time I went down there, that was after I caught her and I called them up. And when I received this letter, so that was funny. I actually caught her because of those photos, and they're still disputing it to me. And I'm like, which I just was, like, furious. But
So you had the picture and you obviously studied it and you showed up someplace and she was nearby?
Right. I was given a call at the Wells Fargo, one of the branches, that I had left my driver's license there. And I said, well, no, I didn't. I said, I think that's the identity theft person.
So you had your actual driver's license, but they were saying that you had left it there, and you figured, well, that's got to be the thief's driver's license.
Yes.
Okay.
So I went down there the next morning because it was the end of day. I went down there the next morning. They didn't open until 10. I was down there at 9. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go next door to the Starbucks, get a coffee. And there, you know, and there was this woman standing next to me who had the same coat that was in the ATM photo, and you know, and I just sat there and observed her and watched her, and I thought, well, you know, that she looked odd. She had these fancy Gucci glasses, but looked like she hadn't bathed, and she had that coat, and I'm like, you know, this could be her. This could be her, and you know, and I'll tell you, and so then they went, she was with a gentleman, and they went and sat down, and I sat down next to them, and I'll tell you, my insides were just, you know, screaming at me, you've got to do something, you've got to do something. So I called the police, and I said, and I didn't call 911 yet, I just called the police. I said, you know, could you just come down, I think this woman stole my identity. Well, they never showed, and it was about 10 minutes, she started leaving, and I thought, what am I going to do? I'm like, okay, just see where she's going to go. And then I watched her go through the parking lot, and I thought, okay, just go through the parking lot. And I, you know, the whole time I think this is crazy, but I'm like, but something's not right about her. And so I was kind of going back and forth in my head, what should I do? But I think I was more terrified at that moment to have her out of my sight because the possibility that this is the woman, and I really felt in my heart it was, and to just let her go when I've been, like, tormented for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wouldn't have been. I'd still be dealing with it had I not caught her. I just know that, and because she just had too much of my information. And so I did. And so then I went around up to the street, and she kind of went behind this, like, this wall. And I hurried up and went out, and then there she was, looking right at me, about maybe 5 yards ahead of me. And I just froze. I was like, oh, no, now she knows for sure that I'm following her. And then there was a gentleman right there, and he kind of noticed this, you know, interaction between the two of us. And so I looked at him. He was standing right there because there's a recycling storage thing there, and the guys go and they get money for the recycling. And I said, do you know her? And he's like, no, I don't. He goes, why do you? And I said, no. I said, but I think she stole my identity. And he said, you know, you're not the first person to say that about her.
Wow.
Yes. That was like, okay, this is something. And so that's when I dialed 911, and I got 911 on the phone. And she started walking, and I started walking, and I'm, you know, trying to figure out where I'm at. Of course, the street corner where she turned up, there were no street signs. So I'm like, I don't know where I'm at. And then I pursued her, and she tried to get into a cab, and I asked the cab driver not to drive away, and the cab driver didn't. And then at that point, she got out, and she said, why are you following me? You're scaring me. Stop following me. And I said, well, you know, I'm scared too, and I've got 911, and let's just let 911 figure this out. If I'm wrong, I'll apologize, but just please stay here with me, and we'll get this figured out. Well, she didn't. She crossed the street and then crossed again, the busy Market Street, tried to get onto a streetcar, and once again I did the same thing. I said, please don't drive away. I think this woman stole my identity. I have 911 on the phone. And he didn't. He would not take the streetcar away. So she got off again, and she's like, I can't stop. I'm on probation. And of course, I'm giving 911 the play-by-play the whole time. And we went around blocks, and I was like, when are they going to get here? I mean, I was so fatigued. I was just like, why aren't they here? And then she ditched the wallet, and I opened up the wallet, and there was there was my name. There was Karen Lodrick all over. It was all the stolen mail. And I just couldn't believe it. And it was at that point that I just knew I was right. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I think that's when I broke out in tears and just said, you've got to get here. It is her. It is her. And we just, you know, continued to run. And it was, and then she ran around this block really quickly. And I ran around. And there she was gone. I thought, oh, no. And it was at a Walgreens, and there was a parking garage, and there was an entrance on both sides of the block. So I ran across the parking garage to the one side and then ran back and didn't see her on either side. I went, oh, no. After all that, she's gone. And I was so disappointed. And so then the police got there about a minute or two after, and he got out of the car. He questioned me and talked to me, and then he walked around the parking lot, and sure enough, she was hiding behind a car, and I was just so happy.
Wow.
Yeah. So
if she had just run, she probably would have gotten away from you, but because she hid in there, the cop found her. And so what has happened to her after she was arrested? Is she in jail?
She was San Francisco gave her time served and then let her out for probation.
Of course they did. Why would you want to keep somebody like that, particularly somebody who has a record like she does? You wouldn't want to keep that person locked up.
Right. I know she had 69 priors, and she was wanted in Yolo County. The good news is that Yolo County took her, and she is in custody up there in Yolo County, which is near Sacramento.
Do you have any idea how many other people she had pulled this scam on?
It looked like for this time around in San Francisco, it was just me that was a victim. Because that seemed like that's all the evidence they found was towards me.
Yeah.
And as far as Yolo County, I don't know. I haven't contacted anyone up there yet, but I do want to talk to the DA's office and find out what I can.
Well, you're remarkably brave for doing that, and you have obviously quite a bit of stamina for being able to stick with her and chase her down that day and not giving up. And I'm sure more than a little bit frustrated that it took the police all that time to get to where you were. And then, what did they send, one guy?
Yes.
Yeah, one guy in a patrol car. It's only a woman chasing another woman who's stolen her identity. I'm sure one patrol officer will be able to surround the block and find her. But eventually the guy did show up and did get her. And you've gotten your life pretty much back in order now, although there are some finishing touches, as you said, that need to be taken care of.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Karen has a website that she has set up called fightingbacknow.com, in which you not only tell your whole story, but you also urge other people to not take this lying down, right?
Absolutely. Yes, definitely. I think you've got to trust your instincts and be diligent with the banks, as well as with, you know, the these people that are doing this stuff. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, well, there are two parts of your story that are very remarkable. One, of course, is the chase, but the other one is the horrible way you were treated as a customer by Wells Fargo Bank. Have they ever given you a formal apology?
No, they haven't.
Unbelievable.
They'll be getting a nice little letter for me. That's on my list.
I bet they will. Karen, I appreciate you coming on and telling your story. Thanks so much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Karen Loderick, you'll find her story at fightingbacknow.com. This is the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.